Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio tonight. This is our September the 12th show of 2015. My special guest tonight is Ella from the band Ghostlit Kingdom. You can find more about the band on ghostlitkingdom.com. They have an EP release that it's out right now, and it's I Was Born. And we just heard one of the singles from that EP is You Don't Know Me. Ella, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on. Talk a little bit about, we got a lot to talk about, but I wanted to start off with that song. That's kind of a heavy song. Can you talk about that and the where it came from? Did you write that song?
I wrote it with my partner in the band, Taylor, and we spent some time, you know, sitting down about the subject of You Don't Know Me, and it's really about self-reflection and self-reflecting in the world and where your place is and you amongst everybody else. And it's really about self-discovery. And it's a very personal journey, the song itself. But he and I sat down, and as we always do with most of the songs, sitting down and writing the skeleton of the song. And every subject has its own very personal meaning. And that one's very special to us.
Now, does that have does the EP have a theme to it, Ella? That kind of all the songs kind of connect together. And how did you choose the songs for the EP?
Well, yeah, they do kind of have a theme. It's kind of you know, it's all about kind of becoming a band, and each of us kind of becoming into our own. And as far as picking the songs, we all of us as a band, the five of us, we write a lot of songs. We have a big library. So I think we just kind of chose the songs that really represented the best, you know, as far as us and as far as growing and kind of an introductory to who we are as a band, and selected the songs that way and the ones that really best describe us coming into the industry and kind of coming into our own as a band and as writers and musicians. And I think each one has its own, you know, reflection, and each one has its own discovery, and that's kind of how we put the EP together.
Now, maybe this is a good time, Ella, to introduce the members of the band.
Yeah. So this is me, and I sing and I play the keyboards when it comes to the live situation. And then there's Taylor, my partner, who he and I have been writing for almost 5 years now. He plays the guitar, and he also features on a lot of the songs as a vocalist. And then we have Michael, who plays the second guitar. And then we have Andrew, who's on the bass, and then Jason, who's on the drums. And we all sing on the harmony and group vocals. So we all kind of pitch in vocally, which is really fun.
How does the band come together?
Well, it came piece by piece. It didn't kind of magically happen where we all just met at the same time. It took a lot of time, obviously, where, you know, Taylor and I first met, and he and I kind of started this project. It began acoustic, and we were writing a lot and kind of exploring and kind of figuring out what kind of genre we wanted to really delve into. And then we met Michael, who's the guitarist, through friends, and he came in and kind of started, you know, becoming a really major part of the band. And our drummer, Jason, we met through school. He and I went to a music school in Hollywood. And Andrew, our bassist, he's from Australia. And we kind of ran into him through Facebook, through mutual friends. So it was kind of one of those things where, you know, you just kind of run into people. And it kind of becomes one of those fate things where, you know, you were all just kind of meant to meet and become a band. And we all kind of clicked really well. And we're all together and writing now, and we go really well together. It's a great group of people.
And the sky opened up, and there came Ghost Lit Kingdom. Explain the name. That's got my curiosity.
What's that?
The name of the band, where it came from?
Ghost Lit Kingdom. Yeah. Well, originally we had a different name before we added the three extra members that we have now. Originally, when it was an acoustic project, we had a different name. And the more the music evolved and the more we added members into the band, it kind of seemed like it needed to happen. We needed to change the name. We needed to really create, you know, a world where it felt right with these people in the band. And so we spent a lot of time trying to find a name that really fit our genre and fit, you know, the way we felt about the music. And we kind of fell upon this theme and idea that, you know, the music is our kingdom, and we are the ghosts that are lighting up the music, and a part of this big machine where, you know, we're ever present in the music that we create.
That's pretty cool. As you look at the music industry, where does Ghost Lit Kingdom fit, and how do you guys identify it in the mass, especially Ella, in Los Angeles, where there's so much talent and so many bands out there? What is Ghost Lit Kingdom doing to kind of, you know, wave your hands around and say, hey, you know, take a look at us?
Right. Yeah. Because that's definitely how it is right now in the music industry. But I think that what we're doing is you kind of label it as indie pop. Indie rock, we kind of lay between those two genres. But I think what really sets us apart is that, you know, it's the five of us, and we all sing a lot of group vocals, a lot of harmonies, a lot of stacked harmonies, and we're kind of incorporating folk aspects and, you know, some pop-driven choruses and a lot of lyrically intricate verses, you know, with a lot of storytelling. And I think that more than anything, our writing is quite different from the very mainstream indie rock acts that are out there. I feel like there are a very selective few indie rock bands that really focus on the writing and the very, you know, sentimental writing and stories. And that's kind of how we go about our music. You know, we like to put together a very structural and listenable songs, but also, you know, incorporate very emotional and very meaningful lyrics and great stacked harmonies. And I think that kind of puts us apart from the more mainstream indie acts.
Yeah, that's a good point. How do you find that balance between the music and the lyrical content?
It's definitely a process. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. It's one of those things where, you know, when we sit down to write a song, to lay it out and really work on it, because, you know, our instinct is to get very creative and very artistic and do, you know, crazy things. But at the same time, we want to appeal to a certain industry and for people to be able to relate and latch on to our music. So it's one of those things where you have to, you know, set the basis of a song and set the structure and really put in the skeleton of the song musically first. And then we write the lyrics, we decide what the song needs to be about, you know, what we're all feeling, what we really want to, what we want to write about. And you know, we really do incorporate a very poetic aspect into our song, and then try and, you know, make it really relatable to a listener.
Yeah, and that's another point that I think of too, because, you know, I listen to a lot of music, Ella, and sometimes it's, to me, I can say, well, this sounds like this and this sounds like that, but it sounds like you take this very seriously from a lyrical content and what the song is actually saying, just not what it
Absolutely.
Sounds like. Yeah, and to
mm-hmm.
me, that comes from the songwriting. So it seems from what we've talked about so far that you and Taylor both co-write. Is that always
yeah.
the case? Do you do that, or is there sometimes where, you know, it's an Ella song or a Taylor song, or is it always a process where you guys sit down and think, okay, maybe I'm going to come up with the lyrics, you'll come up with the music, we'll work it through that way? How does that work?
Yeah, it definitely doesn't always work a certain way. Sometimes Taylor will get inspiration in a certain way, and he'll, you know, all of a sudden just write this whole entire song, you know, and then he'll bring it to us a certain day that we all get together and rehearse, and he'll say, guys, I wrote a whole song, and we'll listen to it, and then we'll all just get into creative writing mode, and we'll, you know, we'll deconstruct the whole song, and we'll give our opinions and put notes in and make small changes and try things out. I mean, writing as a band is definitely a trial and error thing, and I think even when I, you know, go on my own and write, you know, a song on the piano and bring it to the band, we always take it and we, you know, completely deassemble it and really hone the basis of the song and build it all together. Because every single person in the band is a very talented musician, and we're very proactive in the writing process, and we all put in our own spin to the song. Every single song has each band member's flavor to it.
Is it always easy to get the total group buy-in, Ella? Because sometimes, you know, I've talked to people that have been, you know, they go solo, and, you know, it's basically them and, you know, sink or swim kind of a thing. But when you
Right.
branch out, and it could be like you and Taylor, and then you branch out more, and it could be, you know, the band, and you're bringing in different ideas and different everybody looks at music differently. I mean, I was listening to an interview of a bluegrass band. Actually, they're kind of a country bluegrass band, and they say, this is kind of interesting to me. I don't know if this makes sense to anybody else, but they don't even listen to country and bluegrass music, but that's what they
really?
Create. They listen to about everything but that, and then they come together and they take all of that they hear, and then they put that into their own shell, and that's their music. How do you guys incorporate the five members of the band, right? How do you do that where all five members feel like they're a part of the band and they're contributing?
Well, I think we're lucky in the sense that everyone in the band listens to pretty much the same music. You know, we obviously have, you know, certain bands that we each love, and we all have, you know, a wide variety in the sense that we listen to a lot of music, but when it comes to the music that really inspires us to the core, that's the music that we're writing. That's the kind of music we're playing. And that's why we're in a band with one another, because, you know, we got together and started writing All As One because we realized that each member really feels passionate about this kind of music and really wants to make their own mark in this music. And, you know, and I feel like it also has a huge part when you respect one another. I feel like
right.
we all really respect one another as musicians, as people, and we're all so close, too, as friends. You know, me and four of us live together currently. We're in the same apartment. And our bass player, Andrew, he has his own place in Hollywood. But, you know, we're all very, very close. You know, it's not just, you know, we're a family. We're all very close. We're the best of friends. So we all respect one another, and we mesh very well. We're a very well-oiled machine, and I think that's a huge part of our successful writing.
How much practice do you guys put in a week?
Well, we have a set 2 days a week. We always rehearse on Tuesday evenings and Thursday evenings, but we have a place that we rehearse that's basically ours. So technically, we could go in anytime we want, and we usually definitely go in twice a week, and then sometimes an extra day here too. If we're playing a show, for instance, we want to get extra rehearsals, and if we want to write, we'll go in and go in on a. We were just there recently on yesterday night, Friday night. We were in there writing new songs. So you know, it's great when you have your own place that you can call your own, and you could just go in whenever you want. We take responsibility, and we take great pride in going in and rehearsing as much as we can and writing constantly.
Yeah, some people, when they look at musicians and they look at bands and you know, they'll go hear a show, they don't realize how much work goes into it, how much structure there has to be, and how much dedication to go into be a successful band. Walk us through what a normal rehearsal would be like for Ghost Lick Kingdom. Or is there a normal? Abnormal, whatever.
No, yeah, it's pretty intensive. I mean, we get there and, you know, we usually, on a regular rehearsal evening, we'll get there around 7 or 6, and we'll set up all our instruments, and, you know, we'll rehearse until 11 o'clock or midnight, you know, going through our regular set that we would perform, you know, out on an evening or if we have a gig. And then we break it down. You know, we play songs over and over. We, you know, we hash out, you know, harmonies and vocal parts. And we work out chords and chord voicings and making sure that, you know, the bass instrument and the drums are perfectly locked in. And, you know, it's down to so specifics of each song, so that every song has its own groove, has its own vibe. You know, the vocals are on point. I mean, it's a lot of work, and it's being, you know, it's about being very meticulous and very passionate, and you have to have a lot of love for it to spend hours upon hours breaking every single song down, making sure every single song flows between one another in your set. It's meticulous, but it's fantastic when you love doing it.
Absolutely, and I think it's one of those things where, you know, if you get. One thing I'm hearing, Ella, is that is really amazing is the fact that, you know, you guys are, as a band, bands don't always gel too much. They can, and they,
right.
there's, yeah, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. You get a band that connects, that everybody seems to be looking down the same path and wanting that path. That to me is an amazing thing. So I think you guys have got that, and that's really cool. I'd like to take a music break at this point, and I'd like to play... which I believe would be the main song from the EP, which is I Was Born. And can you talk about that a little, Ella, before we play it?
Yeah, I Was Born is the second single we released. And it's kind of talking about, you know, how we fit within this world and feeling like maybe, you know, having a little self-doubt, as everyone does. And kind of working through that and leaning on each other as a rock.
And this is I Was Born is Ghostlit Kingdom, and you're listening to John Talk Radio, and we'll be right back with my guest Ella right after this song.
I was born beneath myself, my soul, it hung above the bed and called to me, brother, meet me here, the air is safe to breathe.
Welcome everyone back to John Talk Radio. My guest is Ella from the band Ghostlit Kingdom. You can go to their website, ghostlitkingdom.com. They are on iTunes, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, Reverb Nation. Any other things that I missed there, Ella, where people can get your music?
Any other place you can go is Facebook, and I think you said SoundCloud, Tunes. You can go to Bandcamp. But SoundCloud is great because you can just go straight there and listen to it for free. And if you like it, then you can buy it on iTunes. And that is the greatest compliment of all.
Yeah, and that's another good point because a lot of times the music industry is a little hard to figure out right now. How does Ghostlit Kingdom
Absolutely.
Do that? Yeah, well, how do you guys approach that? Because, you know, like I've said in past interviews with bands, there are some bands, Ella, that have they give their music away for the reason of getting it out there so people can hear it, so they can get exposure. There are other people that won't let any music go out except if they get paid for it because they feel like, you know, it's our craft, it's our skill. How do you guys fit into that?
It's tough. I mean, the industry currently is it's kind of a whirlwind to fit into and to really do the right thing. And yes, like you said, there's plenty of bands, you know, kind of taking their own path and doing different things with their music and how they distribute it. But I think that we truly believe that you know, the public deserves to listen to their music before they buy it, you know, just because, you know, if they want to listen to it to see if they love it and, you know, certain songs that they like or they don't like, you know, if they don't want to buy it. Because we've all been there where, you know, we've really liked a certain song off of an album and then you go and you buy the whole album and you may not like the whole album. You may just two or three songs. So I think that SoundCloud has really paved the way for that ability to be able to listen to several songs at a time for free and stream them. And if you really like it, then, you know, the best way to support the band is to go and actually buy the songs and have them. And that's what we have done, basically.
Yeah, what other obstacles have you found in the music industry? And what have you found maybe ways around that?
As far as obstacles go, I think we've been pretty lucky. I mean, we've always believed that, you know, it's one of those things where the industry is so available and the music is so available now that, you know, there's no other way you can really go. You know, music is so ready and available for anybody. So we haven't tried to fight it by any means. We've been very lucky and just open to putting the music on iTunes, you know, like most artists do. And letting the public, you know, make their decision about, you know, listening to the songs and if they want to buy them, then they can absolutely. And we're very proactive at our shows when we play live. We have all our music available and we have, you know, a lot of merch and people can come up and have a chat with us and buy anything they'd like and any part of the music. And we're very open and very relaxed about that. We haven't been very, we haven't tried to fight any part of the industry and where it's going and where it's at.
That's good advice. I think, you know, you might be one of the first bands I've talked to that have actually put it that way. A lot of
really?
Them are, yeah, a lot of bands are trying to find, you know, an area that possibly they have to fight through or things like that. So it sounds like you guys have a really good attitude towards your music and towards getting your music out to people. That's great. Now,
Absolutely.
Let's talk.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, that's a good attitude. I like that. Let's talk about, Ella, let's go back to you and the beginning, you know, how you grew up and how music became a part of your life. And I always like to hear that, to make the music personal, because, you know, you're talking about people listening to your music. And one of the reasons for this show is to try to get people that can listen to this show and they'll know more about the artist. They'll know more about that, what they believe in, what they stand for. So they kind of relate to them. I always tell this story about, you know, when I started listening to interviews of musicians, I hadn't listened to that many. And I listened to one, an interview with Meatloaf, and I didn't like his music up until the interview. But after the interview was over, I understood his music, and I understood it more than, and I started to think, you know, now I kind of get it. And I respected his music more. So that's kind of where I like to go with the show. So let's start with you. I mean, you know, growing up and what music meant to you and how you were you in a musical family? Did you, you know, what kind of instruments were you playing? How did music help you along?
Well, I definitely had a musical family. It was specifically my mom's side. My mom and my grandmother and my great-grandmother all played instruments and were a part of music, whether it was specifically my mom in musical theater. So it was all a very artistic side of my family. Everyone was, you know, doing music and in theater and all sorts of artistic adventures each of my mom's side took on. And it was certainly passed down when I was born and I grew up in Turkey and in Istanbul because my dad's Turkish. And so I had a very different lifestyle and a very different artistic influence of what music was really about. And it's pretty shocking when you think about my background and how I ended up into the style that I am now. But when I was very young, I grew up in my mom's kind of shadow watching her do her thing. And she was incredible and was musical and artistic, and she danced and she acted and she was brilliant in her own way. And watching her do her thing, it just inspired me so much. By the time I was 3 or 4 years old, I was putting on concerts for my family in the living room and dancing around. And I mean, it was in my blood from the moment I was born and up until now. It was just, there was no escaping it. You know, it was just a part of who I was. And eventually my family and I moved to the States when I was about 11, for just better opportunities all around for all of us. And I really started branching out and listening to my own, you know, heart and music. And it may sound cheesy, but, you know, I just kind of grew into the person that I am by kind of listening to different kinds of music and my parents' influences and really looking up certain artists. And eventually, when I was about 17, I met Taylor, who was so just beyond musically advanced, and he knew so much about theory and he knew so much about writing, and it just kind of took me on this whirlwind. And I was like, I just knew I had to write with him and create with him, and we just kind of took it from there, and we kind of started writing all these songs, and I knew that was where I was supposed to be. And And yeah, we just kind of took it from there. And then year passed and another year passed, and we had a huge library of songs, and slowly but surely we integrated the musicians that we have in our band now, and that's kind of how it evolved.
Now, let's go back to when you moved to the U.S. from Turkey. That had to be a pretty, I don't know if it would be a hard thing, it would be a different thing. How did music play a part in that, in helping you, you know, kind of adapt to things and to adapt to a new country and to a new culture?
It certainly was very interesting. It was difficult. I mean, I remember as a kid being really excited about moving to an entirely different country, but it's one of those things where you spend your whole life growing up in a certain culture, the Turkish culture, which is very strong and very warm-blooded, and, you know, the family. I had a whole family there, you know, not just my mother and my father and my, you know, my grandfather and my grandmother and all my cousins, and, you know, I had my whole family that was there. And just kind of leaving that whole situation and moving to the States, specifically Florida at the time, it was a culture shock. It was a very big culture shock. I mean, moving into middle school. I was beginning middle school. So it was, you know, not only just a culture shock, but also a very hormonal shock, you know, where it's like everybody's, you know, 12, 13 years old. And, you know,
that's a difficult time anyway. Yeah.
Yes. It's difficult on its own, regardless of moving to a different culture and state or country.
Right.
So it was a big deal. Yeah. Everybody thought I was just a weird Turkish girl. You know, nobody really wanted to be friends with me. I was not welcomed with open arms.
So, you know, to me, you know, people and the experiences that you have make the person that you are. And that's what, when you're, you know, writing songs, when you're writing them with Taylor, that is, without the experiences that you've had, Ella, you know, you wouldn't be able to write what you had, or what you're writing now. And I think that's such an amazing thing. When did you start writing songs?
By myself, I you know, I had a notebook, and I think I began more, not really songs, but I began writing poems and, you know, stories that were, you know, where I was the main character, and I would write stories about, you know, my life, but in more of a fictional way, and poems, and then they kind of morphed into songs, and it was just like this, you know, I went through at least 5 little books of just writings and
yep.
thoughts, and sooner or later, when I started growing up a little bit, I started structuring them, and I knew that I wanted to become a serious musician and really write songs. I knew that, you know, all these writings could really become something in a structural way and an emotional way, and not lose the emotional and poetic aspect of it. And, yeah.
Do you still have those books?
I do. Yes, I do. They're somewhere tucked away in my parents' home, in like my old room's closet somewhere in a box.
Do you ever go? I think that's interesting because to go back and to look at that, do you remember some of the things you wrote about? Because those are some of the things I think are so important in the songwriting. Like I'll go back and talk to a musician, Ella, and I'll ask them about the first song that they wrote, and almost all of them remember it. You know, it's like, sure, and they'll go back and say, well, it was kind of goofy or was this or that, but it was that first step, you know? When you look back at the poetry and the things that you wrote in that book, when you think about that, what do you think of it? What do you think that was going on and that, you know, you were writing about? Because just recently I've been really into this creativity part of, you know, like with youth, about how that opens up so many things in their lives. And some kids, every kid is so creative, every child, but a lot of them, their creativity isn't nurtured. Talk about how that was nurtured in your family. It sounds like you had a wonderful family, and how that they saw that and nurtured that, and it worked into the point where, you know, you've got your talent's going in the right direction, and your music is really wonderful. Talk about that a little bit. I think it's very important.
I do too. Yeah, absolutely. I think that I was very, very blessed when it comes to being, you know, encouraged as far as, you know, what I was wanting to do and what I felt like I needed to do at a very, very young age. You know, obviously my mother was extremely enthusiastic about, you know, my artistic passions, because she was the same way, and so was her mom and her mom before that. And my dad, too, he has been great and has always been so good about it. You know, he's a very straightforward, math enthusiastic, very, just not so musical in any way, but still supportive. I'm an only child, so I think he kind of just saw that was the path that I was going to take, and he decided to be the supportive parent. And I think that a lot of times want to be creative and not go the very stable route, you know, whether you're going to be a doctor or an architect or you know, any of those things where it's a very stable job. It's not a very, wandering job. Or a very, you know, wandering career where, you know, you never know if it's going to work or whatnot. And my dad was that kind of guy. And regardless, he was very supportive and understood that this was my path and this was the path I wanted to take. And he was so nurturing. And I think it was fueled by my mother, who was ever present on supporting the dreams and the things I wanted to do and the places I wanted to be. I think that's so important. You know, your parents are your two pillars. They're everything that you know, and you grow up with them showing you the way, and if they support you in what you want to do, that's everything. You know, it's a lot harder, obviously, when they don't, and it's a separate road, and you feel, I'm sure, very independent and very strong-willed, and that's also a very commendable way to kind of pull yourself out of a hard way of growing up and not being supported, or not necessarily not being supported, but just, kind of straying away from what your family normally is used to. And I was very lucky when it came to that. I was very supported, and that's a huge part of who I am and what I write about and where I come from and my background. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. The reason I kind of went down that road is I felt that. It's like, to me, I look back at kind of the same kind of thing, Ella, with my music and creativity meant a lot to me because it gave me confidence. And I think that a lot of you're talking about being 11 years old, going to a new country, new people.
Yes.
Going into middle school. I mean, that's just a lot of challenges there. And one of the things that a person needs is confidence, and I think that the parents can give you that, but you have to get it yourself. And it seems like with, you know, music, that was the place where you found it. You know, that's where it felt, that was your comfortable place. And I think that's so amazing. My guest is Ella.
Absolutely.
From the band Ghostlit Kingdom. And you can go on the ghostlitkingdom.com and find out what's going on with the band and where they're playing. And also, you can go to SoundCloud, Bandcamp, Reverb Nation, iTunes. I highly recommend their latest LP, which is I Was Born. And I think Ella will take another music break, and we'll play the song Belly. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, Belly. Belly's kind of a little different, in a different vein, but still in the same theme of the EP. But it's kind of a more folky song. And it's, you know, about a very personal relationship with another person, and kind of talking about, you know, if you're able to go on in the relationship and needing space and needing trust and reassurance in the relationship to keep going. And, yeah, it's a little more folky. It's cool. It's a good song.
And this is Belly. The band is Ghostlit Kingdom. We'll be right back with the rest of the interview with Ella right after this. like to welcome everyone back to John Talk Radio. My guest is Ella from the band Ghostlit Kingdom. Ella, when you're writing songs and when you do this, are there any boundaries? Or are there things that you think, well, we'll just stay away from? Or is there you're thinking that you're telling stories, you said that before, and that when you write songs that everything is open, that there's no censorship, there's nothing. It's just we're going to write about what we feel, irregardless if we think it's popular or it could sell records. How does that work?
Yeah, I think that when we begin writing, we don't have any boundaries, because I feel like that would be harmful to the writing process itself. I mean, when you sit down to become creative and to write, you don't want anything stopping you or any barriers when you sit down to write. I think we have at least come upon the best way for us when it comes to writing is that we sit down and we write what we feel when it comes to lyrics and music and structure, and we do what we feel is best as far as the song goes. And then when we get to a point where we feel like we can go back and readjust things, we can, tone something down, or maybe we think, we've kind of, once the song is fully written, we think, okay, this certain lyric or this certain music break or instrumental thing wouldn't really fit in the genre of this certain type of song, or, we try and hone it and kind of shape it into what the best it can be after we've completely creatively digested and written the song as we really needed it to happen, and then we kind of look back and kind of hone it and shape it.
When I look at a body of work that a band does or that an artist does, sometimes some of the things that stand out to me, Ella, are some of the more personal things. Has it been easy for you to write about your personal life, or has that been a process?
It's been pretty easy, I think. We are all, just because we're all so close as friends, we all know each other so well, and we all know our personal lives very well. And when we sit down to write, it kind of just flows. It becomes quite easy to describe a certain event or a certain relationship. Sometimes, and we've all had that certain situation where you've had writer's block and it's been really difficult to hash out a certain verse or to try and really get across a chorus that really talks about the whole theme of the idea. Sometimes it's not easy, and sometimes you don't feel as naturally creative as a certain other time. But most of the time, it's pretty ever-flowing when we come to writing about certain relationships and certain situations, and we're pretty good about that. We don't hold back as far as personal writings and situations.
How do you capture the thoughts as they come to you? I mean, sometimes that's kind of a challenge for some artists and songwriters. They may have an idea, Ella, or a song might come into their head. How do you capture that and keep it so that you can share it with other people or make sure that it gets out in a song?
I think for me personally, it's so much it's so much more relieving when you don't try and think about it so hard, when you're not trying to capture a certain feeling so hard that it just kind of completely sweeps beneath you and you can't find the words to describe it. I think it's much more easier when you're just not trying to write a song per se, or you're just trying to get words out on a piece of paper about how you feel. It could even be, it doesn't even have to have structure to even begin with. It could just be, an essay, how you'd write like a piece of a story or even a poem.
Right.
'Cause I mean, that's how I began. And that's how Taylor also writes. We just kind of put words down on a piece of paper, even if it's not even really song-like or lyric-like, you just put it down on a piece of paper and you write all these sentences and phrases and words that stick out to you and words that really mean something. And once you have it all on a piece of paper, all the thoughts, all the feelings and the phrases and the thoughts and the words all on a piece of paper, then you kind of try and form it into a solid idea. I feel like that's a much more easy way to go about it than, you know, just trying to just outright write, you know, lyrics that perfectly work together.
Yeah, that's always a tricky thing. Do you ever have a song that you think that got away?
A song that got away?
Yeah.
I feel like we do have a few songs, yeah, that are kind of in working, that kind of never finished, or that are unfinished songs that we couldn't kind of round out. They're there. They're not forgotten by any means. But some songs just come easier than others, and I think that some songs just need more time than others. You know, there's no saying that each song needs to have a specific amount of time that needs to be written, and it needs to be, you know, hashed out and done and recorded and out there. You know, some songs need more nurturing than others. And there are certainly those songs in our library that need more time, more thought, more sitting down and drinking wine and really talking about what the song means and really hashing it out. You know, some songs need that extra care. And we're not shy about giving it that extra care. We just need the time, you know, to separate and do it.
Well, what's in the future for Ghost Lick Kingdom? What gigs or projects do you have going on?
Well, we are in the midst of finishing up our next record. So the one that you're playing right now is the I Was Born EP, which has the 5 tunes. And currently we are mixing and mastering our second next EP. And that one's going to have 5 songs on there, and we're thinking it's going to probably be ready by late fall, early winter.
Huh?
We don't have an official release date for it yet, but we're all very, very excited. We're all dancing in our boots. We're very excited. It's the next step for Ghost of Kingdom. We're all very excited. It's definitely one of those records where we all put everything in the pot, each one of us. Because this first EP, you know, Taylor and I took a head on the writing, and everybody was just kind of getting into the band and kind of getting used to the band and the writing and the songs. And the next record, we really sat down and we wrote, and we were in our rehearsal room hashing out every part. And, we're very excited for this next record. And as far as shows go, we are playing at the Hotel Cafe in Hollywood on a Saturday, September 24th, I believe.
I was just going to ask how the new record, the new album, is different from I Was Born. You said you're really...
I think the main difference is that there is a huge piece of everybody in it as far as the writing goes. It's one of those situations where, you know, when we wrote the first, we were kind of still getting our members of the band together. And Taylor and I were really taking the head on the writing. And this next EP, you know, we've all been together. We've all been meshing and gluing very well. And we were writing together. So there's that difference. And I also think that overall, I think the album has a lot more momentum. Each song has a very driving aspect, has a very dramatic aspect, and all the writing is still the same. I think it has a lot more momentum and drive and a lot of purpose. And I think it's going to be a great listen.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it. Ella, it's been great having you on the show. Is there anything that I have not brought up or talked about that you would like to talk about the band or to maybe fans or anyone out there?
No, I don't think so. I think we've talked about pretty much all of it. But we're excited. We're excited to play around Los Angeles and keep doing the indie thing. Keep pushing as hard as we can.
Well, Ella, thank you so much, and I really appreciate your time tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And we appreciate everybody listening to John Talk Radio and supporting independent musicians. Please continue to do that. Ella, you have a great evening, and we'll have to keep in touch.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll talk to everybody later, and everybody have a good night.
Pain or that leaves your mind. heart so hiding.